The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Once, when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others, one of the ancient prophets has risen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. In a democracy such as ours, or at least a democratic republic such as ours, a thing that is very important in factoring how we think and sometimes how we behave is public opinion. This is certainly the case during an election year where we hear an endless parade and barrage of polls. Who's leading in the polls? Who's likely to win? Even this current presidential election, they're already saying, "The polls in June tend to determine who's going to win in November." Really? First time I've ever heard that. But why are they so important? Because we don't like to be in the minority. We don't like to be out of the mainstream. And even polls will influence how we vote, because we don't like to vote for the loser. We might prefer a particular candidate, but if they're going to lose, we might vote for the other person. It's human nature. We like to go with the group. We like to do what everyone else does. And Jesus speaks to that phenomenon in today's gospel when he asks a very simple question. What is everyone else saying about me? Now, we don't understand that question on its own. We have to see the overall context of what's been happening in the gospel. And what's been happening? Jesus has been curing the sick. He's been asking questions. He's been demonstrating great phenomena as a rabbi, as a great healer. And in most cases, if not all of them, he says, tell no one anything. Do not say anything to anyone. And more often than not, they would go off and they'd tell everyone. A lot of things haven't changed. Jesus knows human nature. The best way to get people to not do something is for the priest to ask them to do it. The best way to get them to do something is for the priest to ask them not to do it. Not much has changed in the Catholic Church. Case in point, no left turn. And one might say, well, Jesus probably knew this and told them not to tell anyone, knowing that they were going to, and that's what he wanted them to do. But when you look at today's question, what is the answer? He knows they are saying things anyway. He knows they are talking about him anyway. And what are they saying? John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. They're getting it wrong. They are speaking without knowing what they're talking about. And he's making that point. Everyone has something to say, but what are they saying? And they aren't getting it right. Then he asks the apostles, "Who do you say I am?" And in that, he's basically saying, it doesn't matter what everyone else is saying. What do you say? And even still, he tells the apostles, don't tell anyone. Probably because he knows our penchant for thinking, oh, I think this is the answer he wants to hear, so we're going to step up and give him the answer he wants to hear, and he's going to like us better than anyone else. Ergo, the reason why Jesus still says, don't tell anyone. Not quite ready to spread that. But the distinction is made. There is a difference between what everyone else says and does and what we are called to do as his followers. We're not called to do what everyone else does. We're not called to say what everyone else says. We are called to do what Christ commanded us to do, and we are called to teach and evangelize the teachings that Christ gave us to teach, not the teachings we would have the church teach. And it's a question and a phenomenon we still might see today. Jesus might ask us, what do people say that I am? What do people say about me? And some might say, well, people nowadays say that Jesus is just a great, virtuous teacher. But who do you say that Christ is? C.S. Lewis makes that distinction in some of his writings where he says, we cannot, nor does he have any tolerance for anyone who says Jesus is just a virtuous, good teacher. Because he says, look what he taught. I am the bread of life. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. I am the Son of God. Whoever sees me sees the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will rise on the third day. Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it after 3 days. C.S. Lewis says, if he was just a good teacher, first of all, would he say these things? Anyone who says these things is one of only three things. A, they are the devil and trying to lead us astray. B, they're crazy and should be locked up with every other person who thinks they're Napoleon. Or C, he is who he says he is. But we cannot say he's just a good teacher. But Jesus asks us, you know what everyone else is saying. What do you say? Might be the same question with regard to the church. What do people say the church is? Well, some say it's an old-fashioned institution that is a harbor of bigotry, homophobia, and sexism. Some say it was the bane of Western civilization as it controlled through ignorance and superstition a period in history we call the Dark Ages. Some say it's an old-fashioned institution that needs to get with the times and do what everyone else says it should do. But what do you say the church is? I know what I'll say. That's why I love history. The church is the institution that built Western civilization, that established the university system and founded universities, that established the hospital system and founded hospitals, that's the mother of modern science, built wonders of architecture that still are architectural wonders today, and in a little institution called the Inquisition, introduced a phenomenon known as due process of law and legal rights at a time of absolute monarchy who exercised absolute power over life and death. That's what I say the church is. What do you say the church is? Another phenomenon, as I said, as we see on days such as today, it tends to be a very popular trend in the church on a day in which we celebrate a very special vocation to apply that vocation to men who do not share that vocation. In a society and a time in which, what is everyone else saying about fathers? They're not necessary. You could have a family without a dad. We have a culture in this country that over 70% of children born are born without fathers. And the dignity and importance of fatherhood is being downplayed by many, many popular alternative immoralities. And the family with the father is under terrible, terrible assault. As a priest, I am not so low in self-esteem, nor so narcissistic, nor so folksy and banal to insist that I be included on a day that celebrates a vocation that is not mine. Rather, I would celebrate fatherhood. Not just having children, because any teenager can have children, but those who have raised children. Not someone who is a father figure or a spiritual father or a special, special man friend, but someone who actively raises children to be responsible men and women in society and in our church. That has been downplayed terribly in our society, and I don't like to reduce the importance of that by being folksy. Some of you might laugh, but I'm serious, and some of you have experienced just how serious I could be. But that is what everyone else says we should do on this Father's Day. Jesus might ask, what do you say about fatherhood? Important to the family, which is the foundation of society, should not be downplayed or deferred or celebrated in any other way than for those important men who not only have children, but raise them. And only father figures who may not have had children, but have been instrumental in raising children. Anyone, as they say, can be a father. It takes someone important to be a dad. And as we know, unfortunately, in our society, there are those whose experiences of fathers is a negative one. And unfortunately, fathers don't hold a monopoly on that either. Today might be a difficult day for them because they either do not have a father or have had one that was a negative experience in their upbringing. And there is where I would say we would defer the acknowledgement of Father's Day, not to a priest, not to a teacher, not to a coach, but to our Heavenly Father, who is the personification, the manifestation of true fatherhood, who we pray that all fathers and all dads emulate to their children, that they be figures of that Heavenly Father. So we know what everyone else says about fatherhood, but Jesus would say, what do you say about fatherhood? And we still have a few other boring cliches that we hear in our society that are even addressed in today's gospel. What do people tend to say? We have a society today that really doesn't know all that much about Shakespeare or literature, but they love quoting from Polonius and Hamlet, "To thine own self be true." You've got to be true to who you are. You must be true to who God made you to be. You must be true to yourself. But Jesus says, that's what everyone else says. What do you say? We have that answer in today's gospel. If we are to be his follower, we are not to be true to ourselves. As a banal cliche for certain movements and groups and banal immoralities, we are called to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow in his footsteps. Just as he denied himself, even to the point of dying on the cross. We know what everyone else says, but what do you say? Jesus asked that question numerous times. He knows our penchant for wanting to go with the group, to be included in the majority, to not feel like we're out of the times or out of trends. He knows our penchant for that, but he nonetheless gives us that basic instruction. What does everyone else do? What does everyone else say? But what do you say? What do you do? Let us, as followers of Christ, not worry so much about what everyone else says and does. And I may as well throw in a political comment. Even with regard to this election, there are certain things we stand for as Catholic followers of Christ, which we must keep in mind as we, as individuals and as a church, seek to have an influence on the future of this country. Don't worry about what everyone else says, what the polls tell us, or what anyone else does. We are not called to do or say what everyone else says and does. We're called to do what Christ said. We're called to evangelize as Christ told us to evangelize. We're called to emulate the teachings of the church as Christ hands them down, not as we would have them down. We are called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow in the footsteps of one who also denied himself, took up his cross, even to the point of dying on it, all in obedience to a person we worship as Father.